I'm very honored, and it's always good for me every time he takes time to come here. For those of you who doesn't know who PK is, PK means in Creole hot and spicy. Okay? You know? So back in, 2007, we took him to Haiti. And of course, his name is Kenton Slaybaugh, Pastor Kenton, PK. So then some people at the church, like, man, yeah, PK. Oh, yeah, that means something. You know, so sometimes I'm kind of a little jealous because if you call me PR, it means nothing. But if you call him PK, it means hot and spicy in Creole. So I am very honored to have such mentor, a spiritual father, and like him, he's been in our life since 2004. And you know what? It was a divine connection. And I feel good when he comes and check on us. We do meet as a network. We do meet on every other Thursday on Zoom, all the pastors. And I think the ladies does that too. And then twice a year, he brings us together. So, yeah, for those of you who don't know who he is, this is our overseer, our bishop. And we're very honored to have him. Put your hands together as we receive PK.
It's always a privilege to be with you guys and Ricardo and Kendra. And we appreciate them so much. And I'm just really thankful for the relationships that God has brought us and given us into. One of the things that we believe as a network and as leaders is the idea of spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. If you read, that's discipleship. That's the way it happens. It happens in the context of family. It happens in the context of relationship. It's not just, you know, here's six lessons and you complete the lessons and you'll be a disciple. It's a lifetime. And I was privileged, have been privileged. Many of you that have been here for a long time know Pastor Gerald Martin. And he is my pastor, has been, I'm going to say 30-some years, but it's probably more than that now because, you know, I say that every year. But it's been a while. But he's doing great. And so, you know, we're still in relationship. So he's my overseer. He's my spiritual father. And then we have been privileged to walk with Ricardo and Kendra over the years and watch them grow and develop. So he's, how old are you this weekend?
I'm only
25.
25.
You know, you look good for 25, let me tell you.
47,
yeah. 2004, that's like 20 years ago. So I was trying to think, that means you all were like 27, 28 when we got in relationship. So, you know, like late 20s, early 30s. There's something about that. That's about how old I was when I really entered into a relationship with Pastor Gerald. But it's the way that the kingdom works. It's the way that the kingdom expands. And I want to encourage you, you don't have to be somebody up front or somebody with a position to be a spiritual mom or a spiritual dad for somebody that comes into your life. It's simply about being available. You don't have to know a whole lot. How many of you are parents here? If you're a parent, raise your hand. How many of you knew what you were doing when that first child came into your life? I know my Nancy, and she wishes she sends her greetings. Nancy remained in Florida this time. But we had two boys. And you know, you bring this son home from the hospital, and it's like, okay, now what do we do? Because we have no idea. We've never done this before. This is a new journey. But you know, spiritually, it's the same thing. It's about being available. It's about being consistent. And it's just simply about relating the things that God has done in your life as it applies to them. Your agenda as you meet with your spiritual sons and daughters are your spiritual son and your spiritual daughter, okay? So you can work with people. You don't have to feel pressure. It's not about teaching them something so much as they'll work it out of you. So with that introduction, Ricardo is 47 years old. I pray many more years with you guys, many more years of ministry. And so, Ricardo, thank you. I appreciate you. Kendra, you guys are doing a great job. So keep going. Keep going. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 8. We're going to be there for most of this. I want to talk, and hopefully this is going to be very practical. For some of you, this is going to be review. For some of you, this is going to be brand new. And if there's a title this morning, I would say it's Walk According to the Spirit of God. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." It's interesting, whatever translation you have, there's one of two major translations. This is one place where they disagree sometimes. Because some translations will say the first part of this, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and end it in a sentence, and they'll go into verse 2. And then there's other translations that include who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And depending on your translation depends on kind of how you read this next chapter. And I believe that the second way of including this is the right way because of what follows. Paul here is writing to the Romans, and he is telling them we are called to walk. Okay, that doesn't mean like only just walk, but it means like to live according to the Spirit of God. And this stands in contrast to our walking according to the flesh. There's two words going to be here that are going to be used throughout the next several verses. And if you have like an NIV, it will say flesh. If you have a New King James, it will use the word carnal. And I'm going to explain that. Flesh or carnality is our human desires, our urges, our gratification. And so what Paul is saying here, there's no condemnation from God towards us if we are in Christ Jesus, living our lives in Him and walking according to the Spirit. How many of you know that you can live your life and you can be in Christ, you can be saved, but you can continue to live your life as if you weren't? You can choose to do all kinds of manner of stuff that does not bring glory to God, and you're going to be, if you will, okay. There's no condemnation there, but you're not going to experience the level of peace and the level of rest and the level of joy that you could if you were walking according to the Spirit instead of according to your flesh. Now it's interesting. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Another Paul, I'm going to insert this for a minute and then we're going to come back to Romans. It says this, "Now may the grace of peace himself, the God of peace himself, sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Did you catch that we as human beings were created with three basic parts or aspects? Okay? The first one is, he says here, is our, I want to talk about is our body. How many of you know and how many of you have a body?
We're here.
All right. Thank God you all have a body. Because if you didn't, I may not even look at you, okay? I mean, you know, how would we know? It's the container. It's the vessel. It's what carries us around. Now, the second thing is the soul, okay? The soul is our mind and our will and our emotions. It's our intellect. It's how we think. It's how we feel about what we experience. And it's the decisions that we make. And then the third aspect of this that he talks about is our spirit. And I'm going to explain that a little later. But he says that every aspect of this is to be sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart.
So we are to be set apart, our body, soul, and spirit, unto the things of God. In other words, church is not just Sunday morning for 2 hours from 10 to 12. Church encompasses all of our life, all of our family, our workplace, what we do with our recreation, everything about us. If Jesus is our Lord, He is Lord over everything. Amen? He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. And so what we have to do is, He is saying here, He's saying, may everything be sanctified or set apart for Him. So we understand our physical body, our flesh, literal flesh and blood, okay? Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Before Christ, our bodies basically ruled our lives. We set our minds on the things of the flesh. What do I mean by that? Well, if I see it, I want it, I'm going to get it. How can I get more things for me? I want what I want. That's and many times that is according to our flesh. How can I get more food? How can I get more sex? How can I get more things? More of what makes me feel good. More about my rights, my entitlements. It's about me. It's about people seeing me. It's about people affirming me. Nothing wrong with these things, except that generally is what controls non-believers. They're controlled by those things. Very little, honestly, regard for others. It's a dog-eat-dog world. We got to get ahead. Ahead of who? Ahead of the people behind me. I'm better than they are, more accomplished than they are. We have a pecking order that we establish. And so many times there's very little regard for others, and there's very little, if any, regard for God. Because an unbeliever is their own Lord. It's not necessarily that they worship themselves, some people do, but it's that they are determining what they are going to pursue and give attention to and spend their money on and spend their time doing according to what makes them feel good or what they think is good or whatever can make them feel the best about themselves. And so God created our bodies. The body itself is not bad. It's neutral. It's how you use your body that is either good or not good. But our bodies were ultimately created to carry out the purposes of God on earth. Without a body, we're a disembodied spirit. It means we're a ghost. Now, our soul that he talks about here, our mind, our ability to think, our will, our ability to make decisions, and our emotions, how we feel about them. It says in verse 6, Romans 8, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So our mind is our thoughts, our intellect, our will is our decisions we make, our emotions, how we feel about things. And he says, if you are carnally minded, that means to be focused on how you can gratify your earthly desires. And this describes believers who are still walking according to their flesh. They're not walking according to their spirit. They are believers. They have received Jesus. But instead of setting their minds on the things of God, they continue as they were as an unbeliever. They just simply continue to think the way they used to think. They continue to feel what they feel. They're continually being controlled in the same way that they were controlled before. And Paul calls these believers carnal. When we receive Christ, he says we are to allow his spirit, his Holy Spirit, to guide us. And we're not to be carnally minded anymore. And so before Christ, we make decisions to get things, We see something we want. We make that decision to get what we want. Our flesh is gratified. So we're walking according to the flesh. And many times when we do that, our emotions say, yeah, that's good. That makes me feel good. That makes me happy. How many of you got up today, looked in the mirror, and said, oh my, it's going to be a bad hair day? Anybody ever have a bad hair day? And you look at yourself, and I don't look, when I look in the mirror, my hair is my hair, okay? I don't have good days and bad days because it doesn't move. Hallelujah. I like it that way. You realize that when I was 19, I had a mullet down below my shoulders, kind of shaved off here and back. Even then, I didn't have a bad hair day because it was just all hair then. But, you know, you look in the mirror and you say, oh, my, I don't know if I can do this. And you look at that and you say, I'm going to have a bad day. Your feelings start getting in the way. Okay? And so it's like, I don't look good. And now I don't feel good. Well, no God in that at all. And so then you make a decision. I'm going to go to Walmart, and I'm going to get product, and I'm going to work on my hair so I can feel good. So you do that, and what do? I don't use product because it just doesn't work for me at all. Never has. So you create that, and you look in the mirror, and you say, oh, that feels, I like that. Now I feel good about myself because everything is in place the way it should be. And now our emotions are like, yeah, you are ready to go. See, in many ways before Christ, our emotions had an undue influence on our lives. Somebody says something bad about us, and what do? Well, we get emotional. Not that we cry and kick and scream, but we let that, well, who do they think they are? I'm going to get irritated at them. Or I'm going to get angry, or something happens. I mean, we are all in process here. I mean, I drove up here Friday and Saturday, and you know, people drive crazy. Have you ever noticed it? I don't drive crazy, but they sure do. I'm surprised they let some people on the road. In fact, some people need to be off the road. Some people were off the road. Not that they wanted to be. But, you know, we look at this, and it determines then how we feel. And so the Bible says here in this passage that to focus on our fleshly desires is death to us. In other words, there's no life. It's not going to kill us. It's that there's no life there. It does not lead to life. And Jesus knows what we need, but we're to seek him first. If you remember Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things that he already knows that you need will be added unto you. See, he cares for us as his children. He cares whether you have a good hair day or a bad hair day. He really does. Now, sometimes I think he chuckles because you really don't look all that good. But that doesn't have to determine how you feel about your overall self. And I would say this, many times, particularly in our culture here today, we want to be seen, we want to be affirmed. But sometimes God's purpose, and if we are going to allow him to lead us, will not take you to a place where you're going to be known. It will not take you a place where you're going to be seen. It may take you to a place where you're not going to be heard. And you say, well, why would I want to do that? That doesn't gratify my flesh. That doesn't make me feel good. It's not about your feeling good. It's not about how you minister to yourself. It's about obedience to what God would have you to be about. There are people that are going to be greatly rewarded in the kingdom in heaven that you and I have never heard about. Because they have been faithful to do what God has asked them to do throughout consistently over the years. And there are going to be people that you and I are well known that we're going to be surprised either they aren't in the kingdom, they're not going to make it to heaven, or they get there, and we're going to see where they land. See, it's not about notoriety. It's not about entitlement. It's not about somehow making a name for yourself. It's not about your ambition or somehow doing those kinds of things. It's about simply allowing God to be God, and you begin to walk by the Spirit. To be spiritually minded is to be focused on the things of God and all He has for us. Every aspect of our lives set apart for Him. This brings life. This brings peace. Now, all of us are in process. We all want to do this better. But the key is that you're focused in that direction. Before Christ, our body, our intellect, our emotions ruled. You know, this just makes sense. This just makes logical sense. I can figure this thing out, so therefore I'm going to do it. These are the things that determined our actions, our attitudes, our thoughts. So it's really a matter of who is in charge of our lives. Our spirit. How do we get led by the Spirit of God? Romans 8, 13 and 14 says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. There's that phrase again. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons, and I'm going to include daughters of God. Amen. When you and I receive Christ, when we said, Lord Jesus, come, I ask you to forgive my sins, Lord, come into my life. I give you my life. What Jesus did was He took that very seriously. And when that happens, our spirit comes alive to God's spirit. There's a big word for that called regeneration. And when that happens, then now, as a believer, you can have communion with God. Do you realize that God is a spirit being? John 4. Okay? And He is a spirit. You and I can talk, communicate, have a relationship with the Spirit of God through the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. That's a part of God that comes and dwells in you when you receive Him. And so we become spiritually alive. This is the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. An unbeliever is not in communion with God. They do not have their spirit alive unto God. There's only one way to get there, the Bible tells us, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that's through belief and faith and receiving Him. So you and I, we can have a relationship with God. Now, there's several aspects of our spirit, and this is how God communicates with us. Because you might say, yeah, but I've never heard God. Are you sure? Because you have that ability now as a believer to commune with God. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for leaders. It's not just for TV people. It's for all of us as believers so that we can fulfill the purpose that God created us for. Several aspects of our spirit. First, I would say, is intuition. Write these down. Seek it out. Don't just listen to me. Intuition, just a sense, a knowing. You ever met someone and you just get this sense that there's something off about that person? You don't know what it is. You can't put your finger on it. Maybe you're a woman and there's a man in an elevator and just the two of you, and you're like, how can I get out of this elevator quickly? And you don't know. The guy may be a wonderful grandfather. He may just, be the, but you just have this sense, okay? That's intuition. You ever gone into a room and everybody is happy and joyful? And it's more than just, like, there's a party going on. There's peace there. Have you ever walked into a room and it's like there's tension there? It's a real sense. You can sense the tension in the room. Intuition. Maybe you have an awareness. You hear about a situation or hear about a family situation, and you just know there's more to the story than you're getting. You just, man, there's more there. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. But there's more to this than what I know about. And you just know it. You don't know what. Some women have this intuition. Well, maybe men too, but I don't know of any. I don't. They know when another woman is pregnant. Maybe you're like that. You meet someone, there's no physical sign that they are pregnant. You don't know whether they're married or not, but you just, you know, it's like drops in your, that girl's pregnant. I've met two women like that. They just know. They don't go up and say, hey, by the way, have you taken a pregnancy test? Because you're pregnant. They don't do that. I have no idea why they need to know these things, but it's just, they do. So intuition, just a sense of knowing. God communicates to us through our intuition. The second is imagination. Now, before you throw me out, I'm talking about a sanctified imagination. Okay, I'm not just talking about making things up. How many of you receive pictures mentally? How many of you can see what you're going to do this afternoon visually in your mind? I can. Hopefully it requires a nap. But you just see this. You see it with your mind. It's a sanctified imagination. You see a situation in your mind, and the next day you walk into it. Have you ever had a deja vu, what's considered that kind of situation? You find yourself in a situation, and you know you've been there before, even though you know you never have. It comes through your imagination. I tend to think those kinds of situations are just God saying, you're still on the right track. You're still on the right track. You're still walking out the things that I purposed for you to walk out. Maybe you have a dream. You have a dream about someone or some situation. Well, what's happening? The dream is in your imagination. It's not that you're imagining it. It's that you're seeing this visually, but you're seeing it inside your mind. God places things there. Why? Why would he place things there? Because we understand them. We don't understand all the details, but you get this visual in your mind representation of what God is saying. Imagination. The other day, Nancy was in a setting, and this girl came up, and she was a deputy part of the police department, I think, in the county or the city. Oh, it's one or the other. But and Nancy got this picture, if you will, of a gun, and just she knew that there was an unnervedness. Well, she had never met this person. She just happened to know. She was introduced as, you know, a deputy, and they were in a church setting, and they gathered around her to pray over her, and she got this sense. And so, and what she was supposed to pray, her father was a deputy down here in Currituck County. And he said, you know, his philosophy was, I'd rather talk to a person for an hour than unholster my weapon for 2 seconds. And he never had to use a service weapon in that way. I mean, you know. And so, and she just had this in the back of her mind. She knew sometimes when God gives you something to say or to share, it's going to become like, I'm going to be disobedient if I don't say this. And you know how sometimes you regret not saying something, and now you're on the other side of having done that a number of times, you realize, you know, I need to say this, or I'm going to sit here and think about this next week and the following week, and I need to say this. That's the way it was with her. And so she shared what she was sensing with this woman, and the woman broke, like, down in tears, because and it was like it ministered to her, because it was exactly what she needed to hear. As she embarked, she was at the front end of this assignment. Now see, if we don't share those things, then what God wants to speak through you to me or me to you isn't going to happen. And God created us as a body to minister one to another. And the Bible says that when we do that, it builds us up. It strengthens us. It encourages us. It allows us to continue to move forward. That's why we need each other. That's why relationships in this context are so important. The third aspect of our spirit is our conscience. You have a sense this is wrong, or this is not a place I should be, or this is not something I should be doing, or this is not something that, or this is not a person I really need to be with. You find yourself at a party, you walk in, and you look around, and you just know I shouldn't be here. If you're carnal, you look around. Well, if you're spiritual, and you just know the Holy Spirit is saying, red flag, red flag, red flag, this is not where you'd be, you gracefully bow out. But if you go in and you're carnal, you're saying, ah, I'm going to have a good time. I'll repent tonight after I'm done. And so you go in, and you participate with everybody else that's there in the same way that they are participating. You're no different from the world, even though you are saved. Why? Because you're conducting yourself in a manner that is not what God would have. Maybe you make a business deal. And you start interacting and working through the details of this. And you realize that, you know, there are some illegal things going on here. And you have a choice. Am I going to bow out gracefully and say, I don't think so, this is not for me? Maybe it's not illegal. Maybe it's just really gray ethically. And you say, okay, I need to bow out. Or no, you know what? This is going to make me a lot of money. You know, I'm just going to push ahead. I'm going to take a chance. You know, go big, go home, okay? You know, we got to, no risk, no gain. Okay, so we're going to risk here. We're going to move forward here. Even though there's some really questionable stuff going on, I'm going to close my eyes, look the other way, because it's going to be good for me, carnally minded. Many times God speaks to us in a still, small voice, a quiet voice. Very rarely does God yell. Every now and then you will find a situation that you are just overwhelmed with this sense that you need to do something. We have people, brothers and sisters in Ukraine. We have about 8 congregations there, but we don't know how many congregations we have because most of the congregations that I oversee are in occupied territory, and many of the people are displaced. And one situation where the son, I believe it was son or grandson, is in the army leading a unit, and their unit was assigned a task of taking a certain piece of equipment and marking it to, or taking it to a spot. So they took it to the spot, and he just got this overwhelming sense that they shouldn't stay with the piece of equipment, but they needed to move a little bit away. Nobody told them to. It's just something they just, and so he said, hey guys, let's go over here. And I'm not sure how far. I mean, they were still doing their job. They went over there. About 10 minutes later, a missile hit the piece of equipment that they were there. But because the one believer in the whole unit listened to God, they were spared. I can tell you story after story of how that has happened. Whatever your political persuasion, whatever you want to believe about that conflict that's going on over there, there are believers and God is looking out for them. God speaks to us sometimes in a still small voice. He says, go and talk to that person. And you go and talk. Or you don't. Maybe you receive a word of knowledge. And you have an opportunity to give it. Maybe you read the scripture and a phrase or a verse just jumps out at you and makes sense of what you're facing. See, when God speaks to us, no matter how it is, If you're not sure, well, God, if this is you, he's okay. He can take that. Just roll it back to him and say, okay, Lord, I'm listening. I'm hearing. This is what I'm hearing. Is this what you're saying? Let him confirm it for you. And so now, if he confirms it, we have, instead of our flesh or our emotions leading our being, we're to be led by the Spirit of God, okay? Our spirit, communion with God's spirit, then telling our mind, our will, and emotions how to think, what to feel, what decisions to make, instead of the other way around. Instead of being carnal, allowing our physical gratification, our why we think about things, feel about things, to control our decisions or control what we say, control what we do. Now we're saying, Lord, what do you have for me? How do you want me to work today? How do you want me to do today? What do you have for me? We're saying, okay, Lord, now, if this is what you want, I'm going to make a decision to be obedient to you. I'm going to then make and figure out in my mind how I can be obedient, what needs to happen. And you know what? My emotions don't really have much say because I'm just going to feel good about it. I'm going to feel good about what God is, whether it works out the way I think it should or doesn't work out the way I think it should. It doesn't matter anymore because it's not my life anymore because he is the Lord and I'm not. The problem comes when we realize the Holy Spirit is speaking to us or leading us to do something, and we get back into our heads. Okay, Lord, I think I'm hearing you. But instead of obeying, we begin to think about what we are hearing or how it makes us feel. And so we begin, well, God, are you really saying this? God, did you really say? Or we make excuses about why we don't want to do what God asks us to do. Well, God, what's that person going to think of me? Well, God, I have a vested interest in what you're telling me to let go of. But God, I can't do that. I'm not talented enough. I don't know what to say. And we begin to make excuses, and instead of being obedient, by letting God's spirit guide our spirit and then making those decisions accordingly, we begin to tell God why what he's saying is a bad choice. It's not what you should be doing. God, don't you listen to me? And so we let things like doubt or unbelief or fear or reputation dictate our response rather than being led by the Spirit of God. We have to begin to see things through the eyes that God sees them. And we need to get over ourselves and move into the fullness that God has for us. And the way that you do that is you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit of the living God. I tend to pray this prayer every morning. I started doing this probably about, I don't know, 9, 8 months ago. I say, Lord, let me see what you see. God, let me hear what you say. Let me do what you ask. That you would be glorified. And you can pray that prayer if you want to. It's very simple. God, let me see what you see today. Let me hear what you say today. Let me do what you ask today. See, God wants to utilize each of us as his sons and daughters, but also as his representatives. And every time that I've been obedient to what God is speaking, it's been rewarding. I may not understand it. I may be in some very uncomfortable situation or circumstance, but because I've said yes to the Lord, he works it out. I don't have to. The things that I've been afraid of would happen, many didn't, some did. But it didn't matter anymore because now I'm moving past those things because I'm being obedient
to what God is calling. So today, I want to invite us to begin to allow God to minister to our spirit in such a way that our spirit is alive unto God's spirit and is able, that we are able to see him, to hear him, and to minister. So let's stand together. It's not that we don't have God moving inside of us, speaking to us, but it's that there's more. And the deeper you and I go in God, the deeper it is that we deny ourselves, the greater the opportunity for God to move through us. Father, I pray right now that you will open the eyes of each and every man, each and every woman in this place today. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, our spirit, to see you. To see you high, to see you lifted up. You are the Lord. We humble ourselves before you. Father, I pray that not only would you open our eyes today, but I ask, Lord, that you would open our ears, our spiritual ears, to see and to hear what you are saying. Give us a picture, Lord. Give us a sense. Give us a speak to us in that small voice inside that we know is not our own. Lord, I pray that you will give us, Lord, the willingness and the strength to make decisions according to what you are saying in obedience to you and not argue with you about what we would like to see, but simply, Lord, to lay down our lives, dying to ourselves, alive unto you. And so I pray that we would be today alive unto you right now. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Minister to our minds. Minister to our emotions. Minister to our will, Lord, conform to you. Now I'm going to stop talking for just let the Holy Spirit do what only the Holy Spirit, what only the Spirit of God can do. But I want you, as he does these things, as he speaks to you, that you would say yes.
Yes, Lord.
Directly in the center of your will and what you have for us.
Father, I pray that we will, Lord, see you, that we will hear you, that we will obey all that you have for us. We know, Lord, that the things that you have for us are good and for our benefit. So we receive your peace. We receive your rest. Father, I pray that you, I pray, Lord, that you bless each person in this room. That you bless each of our spouses, each of our families. And Lord, that the blessing of your protection, the blessing of your provision, the blessing of being led by your Spirit as people and as families, as couples, Lord, that we would realize the blessing of that. Father, bless the businesses that are represented here. Father, bless the endeavors, the things that we do, Lord, to receive finances. Lord, bless, anoint, Lord, that we as your people, your people, Lord, anointed by your Spirit to do what you are calling us to do. So, Father, I pray that you go ahead of each person. And, Father, I pray that your favor will rest upon each man, each woman, each child, each family, Lord. As your sons and daughters, Lord, your favor going ahead of us, going ahead of this congregation. Before I close, I just sense there's something I can't get away from. There's somebody or several people here that have been disillusioned. That was the word. You've been disillusioned by things that have happened in the past. And you've said, you know, I'm just going to give up. I don't care anymore. And you still care, but it's like you don't care. And it's like you're saying, I'm just going to disengage. The Lord sees your hurt. He sees your pain. And he's bringing you to a place that he wants you to re-engage with him first. And he will show you that path. But as you re-engage with him, he will show himself faithful to you. That it wasn't about the people that happened, the things that happened in the past, but it's about God and what he has for you right now. But it's also about what he has for you in the future that he wants to open to for you. There's people right here this morning that are in a valley of decision about, am I going to serve the Lord or am I going to simply take a step back and basically do what I feel like I want to do or need to do? Because the way forward doesn't seem clear, but the way forward, and you know, it's not a matter of do I know what God is saying, it's a matter of am I really going to follow what I sense the Lord wanting me to do? As you make that decision in obedience to what you know God is asking you to do, I sense God is saying, I am going to open up to you new horizons and new season. But if you don't make that decision, then you're stuck where you are until you do make that decision. And so, Father, I pray that you will minister your life here. To see what you see, to hear what you say, to do what you ask.
Yes.
And so we give you praise and thanksgiving. I pray your blessing to rest upon this congregation, this group of people, that, Lord, you would be glorified in and through us. And we thank you now and bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.